Good evening. I'm Father Scheer, the new parochial vicar here at Our Lady of Hope. And for many of you, I may be at first the other Father Scheer. As you know, my brother who was here a little over 3 years ago. And the day of my ordination, he and I were both given t-shirts to say that we are the other Father Scheer and all. So, but it is very good to be here with you all now. I was born and raised here in Northern Virginia. I grew up going to St. Joe's in Herndon as a child. I went to Paul VI for high school, and then the University of Mary Washington for college, where I double majored in history and religion. And after college, I worked for several years for several different jobs prior to entering seminary. And then for seminary, I originally went to St. Charles Borromeo Seminary for 2 years to study philosophy. And then Bishop Laverde at the time sent me to the North American College in Rome for my theological studies the last 4 years. It was 3 weeks ago that I was ordained a priest, so I'm a baby priest, so I still have lots to learn. I'm very excited to be here with you all. Please be patient with me as I get to learn your names. Help remind me of your names in the coming weeks and months. And please know of my prayers for you, and ask that you please pray for me. Today's gospel reports two stories of healing and faith. The one story tells us about the father's great love for his daughter and asking Jesus in faith to heal her. And the other story gives us the account of a desperate woman who takes a great risk in seeking the healing from Jesus. In each story, the request for healing takes a courageous act of faith. And it's in very different circumstances represented by each of the people that we see happen. In each story, we see Jairus and the woman with hemorrhages freely commit their entire selves, their entire beings over to God. We see them make an act of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And to obey in faith is to submit freely to the word that has been heard, because its truth are guaranteed by God, who is truth. Jairus is that synagogue official, so this means that he was a man of considerable standing in his town, in the Jewish community. And as that considerable man of standing, he goes and approaches Jesus, throws himself on his knees, as Mark reports, distraught over his daughter's poor health, asking for Jesus to heal him. And it's something that, even though Mark doesn't give us much details, we can imagine that his daughter has been sick for quite some time, and that it's now that her condition's been deteriorating and approaching death. And so we see Jesus leave with Jairus, and that's where we run into the second character of this gospel account, the second story of the woman with hemorrhages. This woman had been bleeding with hemorrhages for 12 years. And by her bleeding, she was considered ritually unclean in the Jewish community, meaning that she would be completely shunned by the community, made an outcast by the community, not accepted by her family, her friends, her own society. So she's left there by herself. And being ritually unclean, it meant if she touched someone else, that touching that other person would make that other person also unclean. So that's what we see. She makes this great act of faith, reaching out to touch Jesus, knowing, believing that she will be healed by him. And so secretly touches him and is cured. And Jesus immediately senses that a miracle has taken place through his body. And instead of just letting this woman go away in the crowd, in the great press of bodies around him, he goes and turns around to point out the great model of faith she is. He goes and searches her out, despite his disciples saying, "How are we supposed to find this woman? This is a big crowd, you know, one person, give me a break." But he goes and has her come forward. He acknowledges her faith. And in acknowledging her faith, he also goes and welcomes her back into society, makes her no longer an outcast, shows that she is now clean, that she is part of the society again, part of the family of God again. And he makes her an example of how faith gives access to the salvation he's come to bring. At this point in the gospel account, we can imagine how Jairus is probably getting a little frantic, like, come on, let's go. You're supposed to go heal my daughter. And we see at that point, the messengers come from his house, saying that his daughter has died. And it's interesting, Jesus' reaction here. Jesus completely ignores the messengers and what they say. Instead, he turns to Jairus and tells him, do not be afraid. Have faith. Of that faith, it's this entirely free gift that God gives to us. And it's a gift that we can lose. So that St. Paul goes in his letter to Timothy, says, wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting conscience, certain persons have made shipwreck of their faith. To live, to grow, to persevere in faith, until the end, we must nourish it. We must nourish it with the Word of God, with the sacraments. We must ask God to increase our faith, to live it out in charity, abounding in hope, rooted in the faith of the church. And so Jesus, seeing that Jairus is beginning to doubt his faith, turns to him and encourages him to persevere in his faith. Do not be afraid. Keep your faith. And there we go see Jesus go into the house then and work the great miracle of bringing Jairus' daughter, this 12-year-old daughter, back to life. We see the word of eternal life speak words and summon back life into this little 12-year-old girl. This little 12-year-old girl who is on the threshold of adult life. Of that, remember, at that time, she's about the age when one would be considered an adult. Mary got married at the age of around 15 years old. So this girl is about to be an adult. And something interesting is that she's 12 years old, and the woman with hemorrhages has been suffering from those hemorrhages also for 12 years. And this isn't just a coincidence. God doesn't work that way. This is divine providence to try to help show us something going on here. Of that, what is going on here, that this woman suffering from hemorrhages, having been secluded from society, also didn't have the possibility of living out that adult faith in her adult life in her community. So she didn't even have the possibility of marriage. And so that this scene shows both of them being welcomed back in. Both of them now have being able to have that adult life. And so the scene becomes very attractively domestic. Of that, faith has rendered the Christian household a place of access to the power of our risen Lord. So what can we do in our own households to have access to this power, to have access to our risen Lord? You know, we're all believers. We're all Christians. We all profess faith in God. We all profess faith in Jesus Christ. And so what do we do in our own lives back at home when we're not here at church, at Our Lady of Hope? Do we pray together as a family? Do we pray before meals, before going to bed? Do we have a crucifix, an image of Our Lady prominently placed in our house? Do others, when we welcome them into our homes, know that we are Christian? These are just some of the ways that we can bring faith into our homes. And in doing so, bringing the faith into our homes, we invite God into our everyday lives. We can sanctify our lives further this way and bring God more. And this is how we can gain access to the power of the risen Lord. Faith, first of all, is though for individuals. It's a personal adherence to God. It's a free assent to the whole truth that God has revealed to us. And as a personal adherence to God, an assent to his truth, Christian faith differs from other faiths. It's not having a faith in a creature. It's having faith in God, who's a higher being. Because having a faith in a creature would be futile and false. This is what Satan did with Adam and Eve. He made them doubt their faith in God and had them put more greater faith in themselves. That's how he tempts us. But faith, the Christian faith, is having faith in God. And we see that played out here in this gospel account in the two different ways. We see Jairus as a man and the hemorrhagic woman. Jairus as that public official, that important person of the Jewish community. And the hemorrhagic woman as this woman cast out, suffering, separated from her community. One goes and approaches Jesus publicly and the other one in secret. But yet in each case, it's faith that brings them to Jesus. And it's through their faith that they find what they need in Jesus. They find saving grace in Jesus, salvation in Jesus. We both see Jairus and that woman make that personal adherence to Jesus, to God. And this is what we need to do in turn in our own lives. So it's something that we can learn in these two stories, that Jesus accepts the faith of all, that we all have different journeys of faith. We all arrive to God in different ways. And we can approach Jesus in public or in secret. We may approach Jesus in times of great need or in times of just every common day life. And what stands out is that we all must commit our entire selves, our entire beings, to God. That this is what faith is all about. And in committing our entire selves to God, we must give everything we have and are to God. We must lay aside all of our wants, our desires, and turning fully towards the Lord. We must make that act of faith, live out our faith in our everyday lives. When we wake up in the morning, making that consecration of the day to God, throughout our day, at work, at home, during the school year in school, and then coming back and when we go to bed. For it's fully turning into God, fully committing to God, that we'll find life just like the woman and just like Jairus' daughter. That faith gives us that foretaste of eternal life. A faith gives us a glimpse into who God's being is, gives us a glimpse of the beatific vision of what heaven is like, and will lead us there to heaven. That's our final goal, of reaching heaven. And this is why we come to Mass. This is why we come to Mass every day, for it's in Mass that we come before the Lord. We present ourselves before the Lord. We have already gone and acknowledged our sinfulness, our need for God's grace and mercy. We're about to go and profess our faith in the creed. We're going to then place our own personal sacrifices spiritually on the altar during the preparation of the gifts to unite our personal sacrifices with that of Christ on the cross being played out here in this Mass. And then we'll come forward to Jesus. We'll say amen to the body of Christ. We'll say amen. I believe in you, Jesus, truly present here before my eyes, whom I bow to receive into my soul. And we receive Jesus into our lives. We receive Jesus, the eternal life, into our souls. So now let us proceed to the altar. Let us make our act of faith. Let us see Jesus come before our very eyes and receive him, the eternal life, into our souls.